Demonology 102. The devil's power is often expressed through occultist expressions of witchcraft and sorcery. We have encountered these powers many times and have seen many people delivered from a lifetime of witchcraft. The woman in the story below is such an example. Now I'm going to read the entire story because it sets the platform. 3 times he commanded me to kill myself. I had had mental problems since I was a little girl. It started when I realized I was clairvoyant. I could see what was going on. I knew facts, people, faces, places. Somebody was revealing things of the past and the future to me. It always scared me because I had no control over these situations, and they were increasing more and more every day. My family took me to a psychologist, but nothing could be done. I was so upset with the doctor that once, when I was 9 years old, I moved a pencil holder that was on his desk with my mind. The poor doctor freaked out. He just didn't know what to think or do. He was amazed by my answers because he realized I knew a lot of things. He finally gave up on me and told my mother he couldn't help me. They took me to see other doctors who performed several tests, including an electroencephalogram, but to no avail. So they decided to take me to a parapsychologist. She told us that it would be detrimental for me to reject the power I had, that I had to accept it, because she said she was going to help me to develop it. After attending several of her classes, I realized that she was using me for her own purposes. I left and started going to 3 spiritualistic centers. They almost drove me crazy. In later days, I could see silhouettes in broad daylight. I would hear murmurings, voices calling me. I would see weird shapes. At night, I couldn't sleep. I would have nightmares, hear noises of chains and voices commanding me to do things. I felt that somebody was dragging me by the hair, throwing me against the wall. My father was heavily built, but even he couldn't hold me during these episodes because of the strength I would suddenly develop. My mother used to hold my hand so I would not tear my hair out. Once in our backyard, I saw a shadow chasing me. When I turned around, I saw a man with dark hair and penetrating black eyes. He looked very serious and was staring at me accusingly. I was paralyzed by fear and started to scream, "Mom! Mom!" When I turned around again, there was my father trying to hold me down while I was jumping and banging all over the place. Sometime later, things began to quiet down, but at the beginning of 1987, it all came back. I thought that was the end. I tried to kill myself 3 times, even when I didn't want to. Once I took a knife to a bed and a voice said to me, "Now, do it. It won't hurt. It's the only solution you have left. You are losing your mind." I would see in dreams how my life would evolve if I didn't kill myself. I could see myself in a pit with hands and feet tied up, long hair and a dirty white tunic, and many people around the pit throwing stuff at me. The voice would say, "This is how it will be." In February 1988, I went to Brother Anacondia's crusade in the city of Solano. The first night, I ended up in the tent where they prayed for deliverance. I only remember waking up crying and drenched in sweat. During those days, I started to feel peace, love, and joy. A new life was beginning. And one night after the crusade, something woke me up. When I opened my eyes, I saw a very strong man in front of me who said, "I am King Thor. You are mine, and you will not leave me." Thor is a god in Scandinavian mythology that rules over the forces of nature, storms, and war. I wanted to worship God, but my tongue felt like cement. I made an effort and started to say over and over, "There is power in the blood of Jesus." A crusade counselor had taught me that during one of the meetings. Afterwards, I started to worship God with all my heart. One night, a serpent appeared in one of my dreams. Its head was much bigger than its body. The place was flooded with dirty water up to my knees and was raining, much like a big storm. Suddenly, the serpent started to laugh and go around me in circles. I turned to the serpent and said, "I am not afraid of you." I cast it out in the name of Jesus and it left. It came back 3 times, and every time I would rebuke it. But the last time it stopped laughing when it heard me say, "Evil spirit, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Go back to the abyss from where you came." I remember it was so scared it started to jump. Today I go to church. When I remember and look back at my past, I realized that all that happened to me was because of my ancestors who offered my life to witchcraft. Sandra. We're going to look at rulers and principalities. Rulers and principalities. Many years of experience in spiritual deliverance helped Carlos understand many of the devil's tricks and strategies. The Bible speaks of different demonic categories. There are rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, Ephesians 6:12. As for the rulers or principalities, we could say that each city has a prince. The best example is found in the book of Daniel. Although Daniel had prayed, he wasn't receiving an answer. And after 21 days of seeking God's face, an angel told him, "Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding," Daniel prayed with his mind, "and to humble yourself before your God," Daniel was praying and crying out before God, "your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days, Daniel 10, 12, and 13. The struggle was so intense that the angel had to ask for help to overcome the adversary. It meant that the prince over Persia was detaining the answer, blessing that Daniel was so anxiously waiting for. That same thing happens today. There are principalities, strong men who rule and try in every way they can to stop the work of God. They want to hold back the crusades and put obstacles in the way of those who need Christ. In order to accomplish this, they will come up with all sorts of snags. It's important to understand that the battle needs to be won in the heavens, in the air. Only then will we see the victory reflected on the earth. We therefore need to bind and cast out the demons, principalities, and powers. Once the victory is achieved in the heavens, the battle on earth will be easier because there will be no opposition from the evil one. That is the reason why the Apostle Paul says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is against the rulers and authorities and the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It is against these that the church fights. We need to understand clearly that there are several hierarchies of spirits, and we need to know who it is we are coming against when we declare war with devil. Let's bind the strong man, the prince of the darkness, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. If the world doesn't believe, it's because it's influenced, bound by the spirit of unbelief. Let's rebuke this spirit so they can believe, so that this demon will let go of their minds and the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ can shine in their lives. Can evil spirits cause sickness? Read in the Bible about Jesus and the crippled woman, and Jesus realized she had a spirit of sickness. Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years, long years, be set free? Luke 13:16. In this passage, we see clearly that an evil spirit had caused the illness. But are all illnesses caused by demons? For many years, people believe so, but in reality, this is not so. Let us explain. In Luke 9:1, Jesus makes one of many statements about this topic. When he commissioned his disciples, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and also to cure diseases. Look carefully. The Lord made a distinction between demons and diseases. That means that not all diseases are demons. Every time I pray for the sick, I rebuke the spirit of sickness, but I also rebuke the disease. You can finish preaching. He was preaching in a meeting. He called out the sick to pray for him. Many came forward, and the Holy Spirit said, "Call people with cancer." And he did. He rebuked the disease. He rebuked the spirit of cancer to come out of them in the name of Jesus. At his rebuke, four of them fell and started to roll and foam at the mouth. They were healed. Even those that didn't fall or move were healed. God is sovereign. Those of us who think we know anything realize we know nothing and that we are just humble servants of a great God. Hallelujah. There are many following causes of sickness. 70% of the people that suffer spiritual problems end up in our tent of deliverance, have hatred, anger, and roots of bitterness in their hearts. These are the main causes of sickness and oppression in people's lives. The vast majority receive physical healing when they find inner healing through forgiveness. Examine your heart. There may be hatred towards a spouse, a cousin, one of your relatives, a neighbor, a brother, or a sister. Hatred and resentment bring punishment. Many times they are the main reasons for diseases that seem to have no origin. No matter why the reason why you hate, Jesus forgave and told us to do the same. If we don't do it, we remain in condemnation and disobedience to his word. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a decision. If you want to forgive, the Lord will help you do it. I have prayed for people ruined by diseases that have received healing. The moment they finish praying and confessing forgiveness, it's awesome how God's power operates through forgiveness. Don't allow the devil to use your feelings to bring sickness into your life. Authority to drive out demons. The Lord Jesus affirmed that the church has authority to cast out and rebuke demons when he said, "In my name, you will drive out demons." You don't kick them out or cast them out by giving oil to the demonized person to drink. The real mission the devil has in this world is to kill, steal, and destroy. We need to believe and understand this. He will not stop bothering us until the Lord takes us to be in his presence. That is his work and his goal. But God has given us authority and has equipped us through his Holy Spirit to undo the works of the devil in the name of Jesus. Many times we believe that it is God himself who will do it, and this is true. He has already done it all, but the Lord has given us the authority and the mandate to continue the work. He started, therefore we can't pray for a demonized person by saying, "Lord, set this person free." His answer will be that he has already done that on the cross. We have to take hold of the authority he has given us and drive out demons in his name. God gave authority to all who believe, not to one person in particular. We need to treasure his authority in our hearts. Faith gives us authority. I firmly believe in what Jesus told his disciples when they couldn't drive out a demon in a boy. They asked him, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Matthew 17:19. And the Lord answered them, saying, "Because you have so little faith." Verse 20. And he also said something else. "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Matthew 9:29. So what happened? Was the Lord contradicting himself? No, of course not. He never does. When someone has faith, he can move mountains. But when faith is weak, we need to seek the face of God, because faith is a gift that comes from him. It isn't a human attribute. It's a gift from heaven. If you want faith, look for it, because God rewards those who earnestly seek him. If you have powerful faith, one that moves mountains, there will be no devil that will be capable of resisting you. But if not, ask by prayer and fasting to be filled by God's anointing, power, and authority. We must earnestly seek God today. The church needs to look for the power, the anointing, and the grace of God. We need to spend time with him to search him out by being alone in his presence, on our knees, pouring out our hearts before him and our souls to him with tears, asking him to equip us, anoint us, and increase our faith, so that we can work according to his will. Evil multiplies, science increases, man turns away from God. And I believe that the only way to bring people closer to God is through the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can only achieve this by searching for God. Who has power? Everybody does. Maybe you're thinking, "But Carlos, you have more power than we do." You're wrong. That's not true. I've been able to prove this thousands of times. We all have the same authority. Why? It's simple. For a long time, I asked Jesus to give me power. And do you know what his answer was? "I've already given it to you." But it wasn't real to me until he took me to the word where I read, "These signs will accompany those who believe." I said, "Okay, I read it." But he said, "Read it again." When I did, the letter seems to shine. God asked me, "Do you believe in me?" I said, "Yes, Lord." Then he said, "Power is not manifesting in your life because you still don't believe me." It is one thing to believe in God, another to believe him. That's the secret, to believe God. Even if you just recently became a believer, if you have to take action, do it. Don't be afraid. Trust in God. If you stand firm on his word, God's protection is over you. Don't fear. You still have power. God doesn't make any exceptions. Some will have more faith, others less. But God gave us authority to do his work on earth. On the other hand, if you have been a believer for many years and yet when face to face with the devil you are afraid, he will laugh at you. You have to exercise faith every day. What does an athlete do? He exercises every day so his muscles will grow. What happens if he doesn't do it? His muscles will shrink. It's the same with faith. If you want your faith to grow and be strong, you have to put it to work every day, put it to practice. And when you see what he says in the Bible becomes a reality in your life, your faith will grow and greatly increase. All right. Let's conclude with the Bible says that we all receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but it's up to us to use it or not. We need to give God the freedom to unleash his power in us.
God is calling a people to war, all out war, a war in which no quarter is given and no quarter is asked. The order of the day remains attack, attack, attack. That's God's marching order.